The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
The good news is, Barry Alvarez is alive. Poof. And that's what got Barry Alvarez on Wilde and Tausch yesterday, talking with Jason Wilde and Mark Tauscher, because there was a rumor the day before that he had passed away. I guess Chris McIntosh called him up and was like, "Whoo, it's good to hear your voice." Barry was like, "What are you talking about?" "Well, someone said you died. It was on the internet." And you know, if it's on the internet,
must be true.
Obviously true. So Barry Alvarez joined Wilde and Tausch yesterday. And look, the reality of college sports right now is that people are talking about name, image, likeness, NIL, as often as they're talking about the games and the coaches and the players and the things that are happening on the field. It's just a reality of where we are now. But Barry Alvarez had a very interesting take on the whole NIL situation. Take a listen to what he had to say yesterday on Wilde and Tausch.
It's out of control and unsustainable. You know, the paying of the players, it's supposed to be illegal to use the coaches to use cash to endorse or to encourage players or recruit players, but that's exactly what's happening. And I just read the other day a coach said, one of the coaches that resigned said, "It just got too much, and I'm trying to raise money for a kid who hasn't played yet. He's going to make more money than me." And it's just, it's gotten out of control, unsustainable. It's going to screw up college football. It's going to ruin college football as we know it.
Ooh. He created the problem. He's the one that paid the coaches, allowed them to go wherever they want. Look, Barry, and I love Barry, but he's wrong here. He's part of the old school where the education should be enough for these kids because they're going to a fine institution. I had two kids that played scholarship football, and I asked them flat out years ago, I'm like, "What percentage of your players gave a crap about the education?" And they said, "Probably 50%. And that'll turn people off, and they're like, "Well, they should value..."
What, Chewy,
look, what's right for you, what's right for someone isn't right for someone else. Okay? And these kids, it's finally... The NCAA is the one to blame here because they should have woke up when Northwestern players were trying to unionize. Instead, they buried it and said, "Hey, let's just keep the cash coming into us." Instead of paying these kids from then on, then we wouldn't probably have this problem.
Yeah, and to further that point, Tree, like, I've talked to former players, you know, NFL players who were in college and all that sort of thing, who wanted to be something like an engineer. "Oh, I think I want to get into engineering." And their football coaches were like, "Well, how about communications?" You know, were they like, sure, yes, you're getting an education, but a lot of times it's not an education that maybe you want because it conflicts with how much time you're going to be able to dedicate to football.
Well, because here's what you're saying, Chu. Just because an expense is paid, the education, doesn't equal value given. Because that education may not be what they can actually use. If I were to give you a motorcycle, Gabe, but you're scared of motorcycles or scared of riding, and you have no intention of ever riding a motorcycle, did I really give you something of value? Or did I just give you something you got to store in your garage or sell to somebody who does perceive there to be value there? And these athletes can't even sell the education to somebody else. And that's where the whole idea of expenses, we're giving you an education, falls flat if the education isn't of value to them. And you could have an argument about, oh, well, why isn't it of value? Because that's not their path. That's not their future. That's exactly not their journey. So like your point about it being different for everybody else stands. The idea that NIL is ruining college sports, is that fair? And I know he said it's unsustainable, right? There were a lot of like layers to what Barry said. I agree, it's unsustainable. What are you going to do about it at this point? Like, the toothpaste is out of the tube.
Yeah, sure.
And it's going to be very hard, Gabe, to dial this sucker back. It should have had guardrails from the beginning. And the NCAA fumbled the ball, screwed this whole thing up by not taking action, allowing states to go and individualize the NIL, which is why all of a sudden people were like, whoa, we can't let Florida, I'm just throwing one state out there, offer NIL to its in-state college athletes, because why would people go anywhere but Florida? They're getting paid now for their name, image, likeness, where they're not in other places, and that's what finally pushed the NCAA to act on this.
And in terms of, you know, is it ruining college sports? Fox just announced today that they are going to be airing games on Friday nights. They're going to start airing college football games on Friday nights because they think that's going to drive a big rating. And guess what? They're going to get a good number. They're absolutely going to get a good number. People are going to be, like, Friday night's usually not a good viewing night. Your favorite college football team's playing on Friday night because they've got Big 10, Big 12 rights. Yeah, people are going to tune in for that. Wisconsin's playing Ohio State on a Friday night. People are going to tune into that. People are tuning in to college right now. Like, college football, honestly, I don't think that this is necessarily the biggest thing. The biggest thing to me that could diminish the returns for these networks on college football is adding to the playoff. Like, in diminishing the meaning of those games in the regular season in terms of players getting paid. Like, no, this should have been happening for a while.
These coaches just don't like it. It's more work for them, Jen, because it used to be these college coaches just had to recruit high school, right? That's it. There was no transfer portal. There was no NIL. There was no pilfering. Now they have to recruit high school kids. They have to pilfer other teams' rosters with the transfer portal, and they have to raise money to pay these superstars to come to their university, and it's a lot of work, and they don't like it. They liked it when it was nice and clean, and all the money went to the coaches and stuff, and these guys, oh, we'll just give, what are they, cost of attendance. That's what they called it. Every player gets $2,500 a month. That's cost of attendance. That's why they don't like it, because it's hard now, and they screwed it up.
And Chip Kelly was on the Pat McAfee show. Chip Kelly, who obviously was at UCLA as a head coach, but has now joined the Ohio State coaching staff. And his explanation for leaving the head coaching position, which again, we have talked about Jeff Hafley leaving Boston College as well and going to be the DC with the Green Bay Packers. But his explanation was he wasn't coaching anymore. He was doing all of the other things, all of the CEO type of things, recruiting, certainly taking a lot of time, retaining, taking a lot of time. But he said that he found himself not in meeting rooms and actually coaching the X's and O's and getting those relationships with the players. But to me, Chu, that's just restructure. So you have to evolve. So you can't be, you know what I mean? If you want to be the head coach of a football team and you want to actually coach, then you have to be willing to delegate. And for a lot of those guys, that is relinquishing control. And that's where I think that the future is in that space. You have to be willing to say, I'm delegating this person for this task. I'm delegating this person for this task. I'm delegating this person for this task. And allow yourself to get back in that connecting with the athletes, connecting with the players so that you can actually coach. If that's what you're... Now, look, I want to be very clear on this. There are guys who are Division I football coaches who don't want to coach, who actually can't coach all that well, who surround themselves with coaching talent. You know this very well, Chu, and would prefer to be the CEO of that respective company.
Yeah,
I wonder if teams are going to, if they're just going to hire, I don't know what they would call it, but like a general manager.
Chief of staff.
Yeah. Whatever they would do, and they're the ones that are going to be responsible for trying to retain players and go after players, because for a head coach that wants to be an actual head football coach. I'm wondering if that's the way this almost has to go, because I do understand that it is a lot more work for these college coaches, so then you're probably going to have to divvy up. Now, with that, your $10 million salary, like the new position's got to be paid for somehow. That's probably got to get sliced up a little bit, so now this general manager of whatever you want to call it can go out and get players from all these different places. But I wonder if that's a direction we start seeing college football go.
Ben, you don't think they can put the toothpaste back in the tube, though?
How? What do they do?
Limit the transfer portal. Not an unlimited amount. You get one kick at the cat. That's it. I mean, you have some of these players. Ugalaga.
Oh, my goodness. DJ Uiagalelei.
Didn't he go from Clemson to...
Oh, this will be great if we can nail this.
Went to Clemson to... help. To the Pac-12.
Oregon State.
And didn't he go somewhere else?
I feel like he is now somewhere else.
Yeah, he went from Oregon State,
I think he went somewhere else. See, that's got to stop. One kick
but
at the cat... Right, Gabe?
Here's the problem, Chu. The reason why they're going unlimited right now, because they tried to give you the one, but then that was challenged in court. And while that goes through the court process, they're forced to kind of leave it open so you can kind of go do whatever, which is why Barry made the point in his little 45-second clip we played earlier about it's supposed to be illegal to entice players during recruiting.
Yes.
But now that's practically legal because that was challenged in court. So now they can't investigate any of those claims until that plays through the legal process. Like, the legal process has been dragged into this. And because of that, that's added to the Wild West nature that college sports in general is going
and through. For the record, DJ Uiagalelei is now at Florida State.
See, I mean, that to me is crazy, but like Gabe said, it's legal, and you know, my son's coaching and he does this. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, trying to get players from other teams.
As long as the coaches can leave at any time, I don't see why a player shouldn't be.
I totally agree, Josh.
Like, so, the way they just skip out on everyone, and we all agree, these athletes should be playing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about you work, you provide value, you get paid for that. It's very simple.
Most of the time, you're going out and you're seeking it and you're finding it also. You either have aligned yourself with an agent whose job is exclusively to do that, or you have a collective, which is also collecting money and then giving it to the athletes as well. But depending on how valuable you have made yourself to that program and to the scene, right, the college football scene, you should be able to get all of that money. I have no issue with these guys. If I can do it, if Gabe can do it, if these 15-year-olds on TikTok with their makeup tutorials can do it, these athletes should be able to do it as well. I did see, just to add another wrinkle to this, yesterday on my social feed, and I can't find it now, so I'm just doing it from memory, an article talking about boosters, though, and how boosters keep getting hit. Because it isn't just the unit. First of all, it was the university, right? The university would go to the big boosters and say, hey, we need, let's just put a number, $100,000 for X. And the booster would write the check, $100,000 for X. And now the same booster is being hit up by the collective. Hey, we need $100,000 to go out and sign this running back. Sign the check, hand it over. And then, it's one after another after another. And these boosters are saying, look, we obviously want to bankroll these programs and these universities as much as possible. They like being involved and invested as well. But at some point, they keep going back to the same well. The well's going to be like, I'm out. I don't have it. And then that's where the players end up going somewhere else.
It's where it becomes unsustainable because these television contracts get bigger and bigger, and it's not just the football programs or the basketball programs or what have you, the athletic program that's sharing that money. That money then also goes back to the university. Right? And Barry had talked about how they had thought about separating football and trying to make it a little bit more like the NFL. You should listen to the entire Barry Alvarez interview, WisconsinOnDemand.com, that he did yesterday with Wilde and Tausch. But there are just so many other factors in play than when you're talking about the NFL. The Packers only have to care about the Packers. The Cowboys only have to care about the Cowboys. Whereas the money that's coming into the university, you got to care about your basketball program. You got to care about the chemistry program academically. There are so many different things that money ends up paying for at the university. It's just not as simple as, oh, well, they're getting $1 billion from a television network. Let's just split that up amongst the players or cut it in half or whatever. It's just it's not that simple because this money is benefiting so many other things on campus.
But doesn't it feel like the courts are going to find in favor of the athlete?
Yeah.
The NCAA's got no one to blame but themselves.
1,000%.
No one. I don't feel sorry for you one bit. Not one.
I don't think
you created this problem. So suck it.
They are probably the most unlikable entity I can think of outside of the political realm.
Thief is up there.
What I do agree with Barry in terms of is, I shouldn't say agree, the I'm willing to listen to college football as we know it being over and there being a very different landscape in the very near future and potentially being something we don't like the end outcome of. Because I think we all were pro NIL, and then we saw where it's ended up and where the transfer portal, because everybody wanted kids to be able to transfer. If your coach leaves, if you have hardships, we all wanted that. But now we're at a point where we're like, well, it's just taking all the rules away the right way to do it, and then when they instate the rules, are they going to be better for everyone and better for the fans?
Well, this reminds me, Joshy, it's a very good point by you, but it reminds me of when Lance Armstrong was in the news all those years ago, and I read the book Wheelman, which was fantastic, just about the doping situation that was going on in cycling, in professional cycling. And of course, Lance Armstrong has had documentaries out there. And one of the very key seminal thoughts in those pieces was that no matter what the rules are, someone is always going to find a way to skirt them. Someone's always going to find a way to cheat them. Someone's always going to find a way to benefit themselves or their space by going outside of the rules. So you can keep, and they were talking about with doping and things like that. Like you can find you can test for this thing, but then the very next person is going to come up with a drug that you can't test for. And then you're always chasing. It sort of feels like where the NCAA and college sports is right now. Now they're just chasing. Now they're trying to, the dog is running loose in the neighborhood and you're trying to corral the dog, but I just don't think that they have the manpower to do it. And I think, like you said, it's going to take all of these legalities, it's going to take all of these lawsuits, you know, people being deposed, people answering questions. I'm doing a panel tomorrow at South by Southwest with the athletic director of Texas, Chris Del Conte, the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, and the CEO of Learfield Sports, which Learfield obviously is who we partner with for the Marquette radio show and the Marquette content as well. And the conversations that we have had leading up to it are they don't want to be in the crosshairs. They don't want to put themselves in a position where they say something about NIL or say something about the universities or boosters or revenue sharing that then can be brought back later on in a lawsuit. Or and used against them if they say something else in a deposition. Like, it's a very odd space for all of these folks to be walking in right now. And it's interesting that Barry Alvarez yesterday did have these comments to make on Wilde and Tausch, where he said, look, it's bad. It's unsustainable. Can't do it. Can't keep it up. But I don't know what the solution is.
Is the solution to take the model of the CBA and the NFL and say, okay, you have this TV revenue, the athletes get 38% of the TV revenue.
Maybe.
But in order to do that, Chu, then they're going to have to, the players have to unionize.
They have to be employees.
Yeah.
Which I think we're trending in that direction.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, if I ask any of those guys on the panel tomorrow in Austin, they ain't answering.
No.
You know, what is the likelihood of players unionizing or what is the likelihood of college football players becoming employees of the program / university? Crickets.
It's a good whistle, by the way.
I can whistle really well. I can whistle songs. I can whistle, you know, like we have a game that you whistle and then another person tries to guess. I'm very good at it.
Have you ever been able to do like the...
Never!
I've never been able to figure it out. Where you do like the two fingers in the mouth and get it really loud.
Wait, you practiced that?
Yeah, it took me a week in college to be able to do it.
Can you do it right now?
Yeah. Yeah, no fingers, no nothing. I mean, I missed a lot of classes, but I got it done.
Wait—that's your no. I thought you were going to put the two fingers in the mouth and just go.
No, I don't need
high,
to.
You know, the one that you can do from the porch.
Ooh, that was good.
Better, yeah, it's getting better with the reps.
Yeah.
You know, you do it from the porch, and the kid who's like three streets over hears it and goes, "Up, time for dinner. Got to go home."
Exactly.
Hey,
that's
what I thought. I'm a little dehydrated. Okay.
Where's your Mio?
What do you mean? You're a little dehydrated. You're in Florida. There's no Blammer in Florida.
Thirsty Thursday?
Yeah.
Man, drinking on Thursdays behind your neighbor's back. Unbelievable.
Next Thursday, because I am back. Gabe, you won't be able to make it, but Joshy, I think it's a Q Club Blammer appearance day on next Thursday.
Might have to find myself next to the old Blammer.
Make a trip out there?
If the Blammer's out, I want to be a part of it. That's just a general rule.
I'm just checking my schedule right now to see. Marquette Radio Show over on Thursdays. Guess who's free Thursday?
Oh, we have to be done by 5:30, though, because he's got to get home and get to bed.
Yes, he's the one who has to go home and get to bed. Yes, it's all his fault. He's the one who goes to bed early. Ewald makes it easy. It's a promise they made in 1964, continues now 60 years later, making car buying easy for families across Southeast Wisconsin. Celebrate Ewald Automotive's 60th anniversary with special savings on over 1,300 vehicles. That's right, special savings on 1,300 vehicles. Shop the easy way with the lowest prices guaranteed. And with Ewald, you're going to be backed by their exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. So hurry in to Ewald's 60th anniversary sale. It's easy. Go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things. Which I think is a pretty good deal. Right. Which gets me in trouble. Right.
You got a Viagra ring? Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
To say, put the past away. Wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties before the line.
Coming up on We Can Reach You, I'm just looking at the questions, and it does feel like Chewy might actually do really well on these. I'm feeling very optimistic about We Can Reach You.
I mean, you've been here enough Fridays now. College football season's been over long enough. Yeah. You've heard him participate in We Can Reach You. What makes you think he's going to do well?
I think these questions are easy-ish. Yeah, I think he'll do well. Let's see. I mean, we got a couple of minutes here before we get to We Can Reach You. Have you guys tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, can I tell you all about it? It's the clean energy drink that you need that I need to stay active and energized all day long. I have told you, Celsius Energy Drink is what helps me get through my long days when I've got stuff in the morning and stuff in the evening, like yesterday. You know, I got the show in the morning and then I got the market radio show in the evening and my son has a friend over, so I got to make sure I'm staying awake to watch any, potential, stuff that might be happening. Him and his pal. She's a girl. I just want to put that out there and make sure we're clear on that. Anyway, Celsius is what gets me through the day. You can find Celsius at Pick and Save or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. You don't feel confident? Did you look at the questions?
Yeah, I look at the questions every week in the weeks where I'm like, oh, he's going to do well. Then he ends up getting one right.
Oh, well, see, I didn't know that. I didn't know that when you think he's going to do well, he doesn't do well.
Well, I mean, I guess we've just been doing this long enough where I never know what to expect.
Where is the big guy? I can't even see him.
I think he thought we were going to break here quickly because he stepped away. So I think he heard the live read and was like, oh, that's my cue. Go check out the pier or something.
Just left.
Yeah. You never know what he's doing on a Friday.
Okay. Yeah, it's Friday energy.
I thought you were going to be the one with senioritis.
I am, man. I am so ready to check out.
But ever since he turned 55, he's the actual senior on the show. So yeah.
It's just a constant fight.
It's always has
it's you senioritis. And I, Jen. All right. We got to carry it.
Let's take a quick break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Come back and do We Can Reach You right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I guess we're about to find out if I am right. I think Chewy's going to do well on these questions. But Gabe said that when he has thought that Chewy will do well, he has inevitably fallen on his face. Let's get to We Can Reach You.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the Week in Reach You.
How do you feel this week about this game? Okay, so Chewy's not feeling confident. I got five questions reviewing some of the things that Chewy has said and done on the show throughout the course of the week. We ask him about his own actions to see if he can remember them. If he gets three right, he wins. If he gets three wrong, he loses. Are you ready for question number one?
Yes.
What did Jen say that elicited this reaction? Oh. My understanding, you don't want it to. No. That's uncomfortable.
Teeth are bad.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't like that. It had something to do with a sack.
Play it again.
My understanding, you don't want it to. No. That's uncomfortable.
Teeth are bad.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't like that. It was biting balls. I wish we had the clip of that. What she said was far more interesting than what I said.
Yeah, that gives away what we were talking about, though.
Yeah. We were asking basically what she had said.
Okay.
Didn't want to give you the answer in the audio
Jen,
clip.
Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, we were talking about the toothbrushes and how there are these toothbrushes that have a tiny ball of toothpaste in the middle, and you bite the ball, and the toothpaste explodes in your mouth.
Okay, thank you for that
You're welcome.
Explanation.
Number two.
What were you trying to prove when you said this?
I had sex last night.
Hell yeah, brother.
That I'm a man?
Can we play it again? What was I because trying? Josh doesn't miss a beat with his response, and that's my favorite part of this whole thing.
I had sex last night.
Hell yeah, brother.
Which, what by was, the I way, have, okay.
I have no idea what I was trying to explain.
See, I thought he would get that one.
Yeah, see, this is the problem. You were trying to prove that you were still an athlete. You were still an athlete.
Yeah, you're going to regret that one. By the way, speaking of Joshy's like perfect comedic timing, the other day when we were talking about how you miraculously went from one roommate to the other with no issues, apparently, Joshy immediately goes, "Gabe, you dirty dog!" Amazing. So, yeah, keep it up. Keep up the good work back there.
Do my best. Unfortunately, right now, Chu, you're not doing your best work. You are 1-1. Pivotal question always is game number 3. Who did Shefty say was traded that tricked you, but also Jen?
What?
It's not on you. Didn't hear that?
No.
No?
Oh. Fields.
Justin Fields. Yeah. Shefty tricked both Jen and Chewy.
Well, I stared at that screen. We've got a screen over here where we can see the folks that we have on our show. And I'm looking at Shefty like...
He sold it really good,
though. He did. And I was like, is he going to smirk? Is he going to laugh? Is he going to like tip off that he's joking here? So I will admit that I was like shocked. But good job, Chu. Now you're 2-1.
All right. Okay. You just got to get one of the next two. Shouldn't be all that hard. Question 4 begins with the audio clip.
Because I think they're going to go O-line.
And the front, what the?
Flip flopper.
Name all the positions you said the Packers would draft in the first round in a half hour of yesterday's show.
Safety, D-line, linebacker.
He's right. He had safety as well. The last one he said was safety before we went to break.
Did I get him?
You got them all.
Nice. You got it. I thought there was no way.
Got them all. All right. I think the last one's a layup, so you can try to run up the score here.
Okay.
Who would be the worst? Because he wouldn't shut up.
No, he would be the worst because he wouldn't shut up. Evan Cohen. And he texted me yesterday because he's sensitive, right? And I'm like, Adam, it's just show stuff, okay?
Adam,
so you call him by the wrong name?
No wonder he was sensitive.
What's his name? Evan? Evan.
That's it. There we go. Evan.
So you just had a tough day yesterday with people being overly sensitive, huh? Between Evan apparently reacting to
that.
Well,
I mean, in fairness to Evan, you did say he would be the worst.
You went hard to the hole.
But he agreed. Unprompted, decided to throw Evan Cohen, who's one of our bosses, by the way, under the bus.
I did, but I made him feel good because I said I'd be terrible because I'd be very gassy.
Well, and you don't want Chewy as your... We didn't mention this yesterday when we were going through who would be the best for road trips. You don't want Chewy to be your, you know, the co-pilot for the road trip, because if you're going somewhere south and you want to go to Bucky's, you can't.
Because Angie's not
No, I'd eat that brisket right in his face.
Oh, he can't eat it because she's not there. You guys made a pact.
But no one would want to sit behind me.
Who wants to
sit? As the third person?
Well, I don't think anybody would just wants to sit around you. I think...
No. I'm saying because my seat's going all the way back.
Yeah, but I have a question.
If I'm riding shotgun.
I've worked with you now for 4 years here in the studio. I don't think that you're gassy. Like, I've never been like, oh, my God, Chew farted again.
No, well, there's just certain food.
It's like because we're around him when he doesn't eat. He famously doesn't really eat anything in the morning. So maybe later in the afternoon.
Got that all out at night.
Since we're talking about the road trip. You know, we went pretty hard to the hole on Ben Brust yesterday. We said that we didn't want him to be. I said lack of self-awareness and all of that. We were not the harshest critic of Ben Brust as a road trip partner. Take a listen to KBN yesterday.
Josh DiMaggio, producer of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, hit it. Ben's going to be hurt by this. He's a road trip guy. I love taking road trips. I'll be the driver. I'll sit the passenger. I'll provide a phone that has a big screen that we can watch TV together if you're into that sort of thing. If you want to listen to
music. Can we pause
music,
it for a second before
we can do
we get
whatever
to
you want.
No, just pause it for a second. If the other person is driving, you don't want to be providing them with a large screen to watch movies because that is distracting from the driving.
I'm pretty
Even
sure it's illegal.
I know that.
Yes. Like,
that was one of the things he tried to do to defend himself.
All right, go ahead,
which he clearly yes. watches TV and drives.
Yeah.
That's we figured that out.
Nobody wants a beggar and pleader. Stop. Get up off your knees and stop begging for somebody to choose you. Pick
that
me.
Was sad.
They said what they said.
About that.
It was spot on. What did I say? What I didn't even hear the audio until now. And I said, listen, I'll be quiet. I'll listen. I know how to read a room. And they said, Ben doesn't know how to read a room. That is factual. You out?
What do you mean I don't know how to read a room?
You'll be in
Give
the
me some examples.
You'll be in the car. Instead of being in the car and just chilling and just going with the flow, you will be asking questions like, oh, we're going to stop somewhere. We're going to do this.
I don't want to stop.
Or, hey, let's listen to this music. You'll be moving seats back. You'll be turning the AC on. You'll be putting down your window, rolling down other people's windows. Hey, I'm a little hot back here. You have too many complaints and too many needs. Do you be like, Doug, like, chill, bro. Like, just, can you relax? Can you relax?
Yo, something.
Yo, hang on, Brad. One second. I got okay. something. I mean, did you just listen to that, Brad? Kyle just,
yeah, I mean,
just like literally just took me out.
Oh, I did.
Like, yeah, scathing. I mean you were worse than Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I do a show with you, and you just treated me like I was dirt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That felt personal.
That was over the top.
That was
next level.
Was
like, when's he gonna stop?
Yo, that energy was whoa.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just being honest.
The I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. Like, oh, I thought this was space. I could be honest. I guess I'm not.
It's very much the trust tree, right? It's Frank talking about the woman with the underwear, right? As they're sitting on the therapist couch. He's like, what? We're not in the tree? I thought we were in the nest. Exactly what happened to Kyle yesterday on KBN. But I'm glad he saw our point. I'm glad he agreed with us. Ben's got a little ADD, right? And in the car, you gotta control the vibes, right? You gotta control the tone because a road trip, as fun as it can be, it can also be very stressful. And you start letting those anxiety levels creep up, well, it becomes very long and very torturous very fast. So I think you'd have to have a stern talking to. With Ben Brust.
But obviously you can't be honest with him either.
This is tough.
So, Chewy, on your sensitive power rankings, we got Evan. We got the car wash guy. Where are we throwing old Benny Brust?
He's in there, too. Of the day? Evan, probably because I didn't expect it. Do we all agree Evan is sensitive or defensive? Is defensive a better word? Because we've had these production meetings and said things, and he jumps us immediately.
If you think I am throwing you a life vest.
Gabe, help.
Not a chance, bud.
So how would you rank him?
Now that I know that he listens unprompted, because I didn't send him you taking him out. I was doing you a favor, doing you a solid. My lips are sealed, Buster.
Would Homer be sensitive or no? Would Homer agree?
I know. Has he been sensitive about anything in the history of ever?
Homer?
Yeah.
No, not that I'm aware of. No.
Yeah.
No, he had once somebody because he was talking about Hank the dog and how he wanted Hank the dog to be in the Brewer's Wall of Honor,
yes,
or whatever. Somebody tweeted at him, bleep you and the dog. And he just found that hilarious.
What did Bud Selig call him?
A demented moron.
I love the word moron. It is just, it's a great word.
And Homer's favorite part about that is, well, it's not enough that I'm a moron. I have to be a demented moron.
But moron's not better than bozo. Joshy uses bozo.
I use bozo.
Yeah, he does.
And it's,
Joshy does.
It's strong.
Because it's also the way he delivers it that just really throws bozo over the top. You know, again.
What's worse, though, of the three? Idiot? I think idiot is the worst. If you're an idiot.
I don't think you can deliver idiot with the same oomph that you can deliver bozo and moron.
It's the extra syllable.
It is. I think it is. It's the third syllable in idiot. Because when Joshy says bozo and he says, you bozo, and he gets that.
Yeah, he's the way he can just nail the beat.
It's like a figurative punch.
Yeah, but there's something enduring about both of those words, though.
Moron and bozo?
Yeah. Wait. Idiot, no.
Is that because your wife calls you those things so often that you've deemed them a term of endearment?
Possibly.
How many shoes are you going to order, you bozo?
Is that a word?
What?
Bozo?
B-O-Z-O?
Yeah, the clown. Bozo the clown.
No, like ain't a word.
Well, it is in the dictionary now.
Well, now it is, but I don't think bozo's a word.
We wore him down.
I think it's a clown.
Should I look for the origin of bozo? Is it the clown?
I'm assuming it's the clown.
Yes.
To know what the origin of bozo is. You're telling me that dude in Chicago with the red hair and
Casey?
The white face. No, not the serial killer. There was actually a show based out of Chicago. Bozo the Clown. I thought it was syndicated.
I didn't know it was out of Chicago. I mean, put it this way, Jen. When you think clown in Chicago, you think of Gacy.
I don't.
I do. Don't? Got to be honest. Clown Chicago, I immediately
just so you
think
know,
that.
And to be fair, if we're going clown references, boom, right to the top.
Yeah.
It's the clown.
Yeah, the Chicago, the Ooh. Directional is what made me.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes,
Chicago clown makes you think Gacy. Yeah.
I guarantee you Google it, Chicago clown. You bet Gacy comes up first?
This is such a Friday show. I love it.
How do you spell Chicago?
Chicago clown.
How do you spell Chicago?
Come on, buddy.
I got the results here.
I was so excited for you. You won Reach You. You rolled, and now you're asking us.
Number two, Wikipedia. John Wayne Gacy.
What's number one?
Number one is an ad for where you can hire clowns.
Oh, in Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that Gig Salad? I got Gig Salad.
Yes.
Okay.
Free ad to Gig Salad.
I think we should put that on the poll, honestly. When you think of Chicago plus clown, do you think of Bozo the Clown or John Wayne Gacy?
I
had no idea that Bozo the Clown was syndicated out of Chicago.
It must be because I'm from Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
I had friends who were on the Bozo show.
Oh, okay.
Go play Bozo Buckets. I have friends who have videos of them playing Bozo Buckets on the show. Because, you'd go down there. It was like when Oprah was based in Chicago.
Yeah.
You had days where people would just take off school and go to the Oprah show with their moms.
So Bozo originated in the 20s. Nobody knows where. It was seemingly just a slang term that was invented. And I'm looking here at the Google Trends for Bozo. In 2007, Bozo saw a skyrocket in use. And I can't figure out what happened in 2007 to make Bozo. I imagine it's something like political.
Or maybe it was like on The Sopranos or something, which was one of the top shows. And there was a scene where one of the guys called somebody else a bozo.
Bozo had a just giant resurgence in 2007, the most ever in history.
Seinfeld?
We could Google search Seinfeld plus Bozo and see if there was any mention of Bozo in Seinfeld.
Well, there was.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
When George, there's a fire in the kitchen, and he used Eric the clown's shoe to put it out.
And Eric had never heard of Bozo.
Yes. That could be it.
No, but that was 2007. Like, Seinfeld was done by 1998.
It was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. It's lived in syndication for so long.
Yeah.
I know. Still going hard.
I would never have been able to tell you what year Seinfeld actually ended. Good trivia. I'll pack that one away for later. Time to talk about the best purchase I have made recently, which is, of course, my Good Health Sauna from Good Health Saunas. I had my eye on it when we went to the State Fair. I was walking around. I was doing that thing where you don't want to seem too interested, but you're actually very interested, and they recognize that you're doing the thing. So they pulled me over. They said, hey, what do you want? What are you looking for? I said, better health and wellness. And I had heard that saunas could deliver that. And they said, we got the sauna for you. So they came to my house in October, delivered the sauna. It's been sitting in my basement. I use it 3-4 times a week. I got to tell you, my skin is better. My sleep is better. My recovery after workouts is better. And I have to say it's because of my Good Health Sauna. So if you are in the market for better health and wellness, better longevity, you should check out my friends over at Good Health Saunas. Go to their website. It's goodhealthsaunas.com. Plus, you're supporting a local business, Appleton and Waukesha. That's where they're based out of. They have a ton of options. So go to that site, goodhealthsaunas.com. There's information there that can answer all of your questions. And tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, oof, like just, instead of a, huh.
Yeah, but that's all part of taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it.
the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
It doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Low testosterone can be an issue, as I mentioned, for anyone. Maybe you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself. It could be signs of low testosterone, and it's easy to find out if it is. It's how I found out I had low testosterone. Went to Mentality, went through the process, did a blood panel. Results came back to me within a week. And I found out, well, my testosterone levels are low. Okay, how do we fix this? I am now in a customized testosterone treatment plan to give me the energy to make sure that I'm able to attack my days the way that I'm used to. So go to LowTUSA.com. Matt Taylor loves treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more. LowTUSA.com.
There is nothing better than sending you off into the weekend with this tune.
I love it.
Makes me happy every single Friday. Lots of reaction rolling in. On the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, throwing out a good Neanderthal as an insult, says Colin in the 414. Neanderthal. Now, that's a lot of syllables.
Like, but it gives the Neanderthal to make fun of you for being too smart and using a big word like Neanderthal.
So you don't like it. You're out on Neanderthal.
Kind of opens yourself up.
Idiot is better if you whisper it, says Ron in the key.
Hey, you're an idiot. Idiot.
You're an idiot. You moron.
Idiot.
Do you hit the front or the back on the idiot?
No, I think you go hard to the hole right out of the gate.
Yeah, I think you got to hit the eye hard.
Idiot. Right.
Yeah, idiot. Let's see. The person, Jared, says, going to be honest, when I think of Chicago plus clowns, I think of the Bears.
That's fair. Very fair. Speaking of like Neanderthals.
We should put that on the poll.
Buffoon franchise.
Just for fun, Joshy, when we put it on the poll and we say, when you think of Chicago plus...
I hate to
darn it! You put Bozo and John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah.
I do think we should bring it back in and add Chicago Bears. So just to see, you know, for scientific purposes, right? For research purposes, just to see how many votes that would get.
Early results are showing that people think about Bozo the Clown more than I thought.
Really?
Really?
Huh. That's where my brain went. Hey, why do I smell onions?
Me too.
Is it Dog City?
Getting the onions ready for the lunch rush? I don't know. I'm with you.
8:57.
I don't know where the onions are coming from.
It smells like Wrigley Field all of a sudden.
Hot dog.
Get your hot dogs. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this week. Will Diantosh is next. Gabe is in Vegas. Adios, pal. Assuming the pink guy doesn't get you. Later.
So mean.